This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hi there, we put a smile on your face this week on The Night Shift with Comedy DXB when Sonny joined us together with Ori Styler and Noha, who are performing at Theatre by QE2. What an incredible character Ori Styler is, and he told us all about his wonderful career and the fact that he can do voiceovers as well, especially if it's a Transformers character. Do enjoy the podcast and join me live on the show weeknights 8 through 10 here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Comedy DXB is back with our one and only Sonny.
Hello.
The man with a tash, is it? Or the tash with a mash?
Mr. Mash with the tash?
Mash with the tash.
Call me as you wish. Tash, not rash. You've got to get that right.
Well, you messaged me earlier on in the week and said I've got something super special
that's
happening. Let's get Comedy DXB back on air. So maybe you can do the introduction,
Sonny. Good to be back, Mark. It's good to be back. I've got something very, very special for you this week. I'm going to call him a good friend of mine because I've met him twice now.
Yeah,
we're best pals. I don't want to embarrass him, but he genuinely is one of my comedy heroes. All the way from London, we've got Mr. Ori Styler in the building.
Oh, right.
Hey.
Wow. And big name.
Big name.
Yeah, who's going to be performing on Theatre by QE2.
That's correct, yeah.
You'll tell your grandchildren that I was on the QE2. You know?
Not at the same time, obviously, that Lovely Queen was on there.
Right.
But yeah, no, I'm going to be performing there on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
And opening up for Mr. Ori,
a comedy heroine of mine. She is the amazingly talented Noha Bashir.
Hey.
How
are you?
Good to be back.
Lots of hair you've got, haven't you? what an amazing hairstyle.
Thank
you. Tell me about this tour then, Ori, the orator.
Yeah, it's orator, really.
Orator, is that how you say it?
Yeah,
it's just a bit play posh, on the orator.
It's the play on play on the word orator, because obviously it's what we do for a living with public speakers. But I just twisted the name a little bit to suit me. It's a tour that started beginning of this year, ends in November. Fifth stand-up comedy tour, and probably my most favourite so far.
So where's it going to be taking you to, as well as Dubai?
Where? So after Dubai, I go to New Zealand for 2 weeks, come back to do the rest of the UK leg for a bit. Then there is, I'm sure they're not going to care. We announce the dates that happen in Europe for September. Then we go back to UK again. We've got October and November.
So
in total, it'll be, once everything's announced, about 86 dates.
Oh, that's a fair old diary, isn't it?
That's
a busy show. It's a busy tour.
How long has it been taken to put together this show? You know, have you kind of specifically worked on this one?
So, I mean, luckily, last year I took a break from the 1st of Jan to the 4th of September. And my idea was to take a break for the whole year. But during the time, I still was doing gigs, but just not doing touring, not putting on any gigs that would help progress my career. It was more so I needed a break, but still needed to pay my bills. But during that time, opened up for another comedian, Babatunde Eleshe, who his tour was run by Live Nation.
Yeah.
They saw me, was like, are you doing another tour coming up soon? I said, well, I was going to think about it next year. They said, come and speak to us. We'd like to do your tour for you. And from that, the rest was history, and I had to come off my break early in September so I could start building up for the tour, which began in February. So yeah, it's hard to say how long it's been taking. I mean, I guess maybe September onwards, up until when we started, to about 4 or 5 months of writing, practicing material.
Yeah.
But they do all the heavy lifting with all getting the show set up, which is...
Yeah. You don't lift speakers anymore, do you?
No. I'll say this though, this is the first tour I've done where it's not run and produced solely by me and my team. Because I have a little team called the Comedy Mania production team. And it's just me with a few of my friends. We used to put on our own shows. But it's something beautiful about letting somebody else take it on board.
Then
you could just focus on mainly the comedy the content.
You can drag all
pretty
the speakers
much, yeah. in there. Yeah. And exactly, yeah. So it's been good. It's been really enjoyable so far.
So how excited are we for this gig and opening up for Ori?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
It's like the pinnacle of the career so far.
So far? I'm going to open for him in Wembley one day. So what happened was, when he came to Dubai in October, he saw me perform. It was like an open micro show, and he was trying stuff out as well. He's like, "Yeah, you're good." When I do my tour and I come to Dubai, I'll hit you up. And I'm like,
"Yeah, of course he will." I've heard that one before.
But he actually did, and here we are. So yeah, very excited.
Hello,
very
this excited. Is Ori on the phone.
And remember me?
Here we go. Yeah. You say, Sonny, that he's a real kind of, you know, you look up to him. Why do you think he's such a special comedian?
I think it's a smorgasbord of things, right? So we grew up with Ori's comedy, right? And I've been talking to him about this, and he's like, "Oh no, you didn't. We really did." Like, he has like, the one that put him on the map was a very famous sort of dance move that he did, and we do it all in the clubs, and like, you know, we'd be mimicking Ori, right? Oh. And we do it like, you know, it's a garage dance move, and even if we go to garage nights, you know, in Dubai, we're doing all of this, and I'm like, I'm sat next to the guy you idolize it, and then you follow his career and you watch his specials. I was watching Green again the other day, which is incredible, right?
Thank you.
But what makes him so brilliant is how relatable he is. It's just the topics that he talks about. It's Destiny Chaska, you know, talking about your grandma, right? And just you know, about how, you know, how she wants seasoning on her hospital food.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, it's things that it's so instantly relatable, and on top of that, it's so very, very, like, you know, British. Not like, you know, not British, but like, you know, British in so much as like the variety of the cultural aspects that he talks about. He's brilliant, right? And some of the things that I do in my show are off the back of some of the things that he does, right? You know, breaking down song lyrics.
Well, I'm intrigued about this dance move. Are we going to see it? Yeah. I mean, I haven't got any garage music.
Do you know what? Every
is it a punch or something?
It's basically knowledge in your frame when you're in a nightclub. You see, don't you dare put on garage music. I can see him getting ready to do it as well.
I won't do that.
Now, it's acknowledging your friend when you're in a nightclub. When the garage music was playing, a lot of people would look at each other. They would do, "Oh, you're gonna film
me
doing
it."
Oh
my god! I have to, because this is iconic.
Right. It's like you'd see them and you kind of do like a little like targeting them.
Shooter thing.
That's it. Yeah. And I did it as a comedy skit for like 10 years ago, and this was like the early days of like comedy clips going viral. Then all of a sudden, like 2-3 days later after BBC put it out, it just went everywhere, and I was like 24 at the time. No. 26 at the time, rather.
Yeah.
And I just didn't expect it to go as popular as it did. And it really just, that was like the first thing that kind of made people go, "Oh, who's this guy? He's really funny."
So that became kind of your signature, did it?
Yeah. And I didn't want it to become a signature. I just did a bit of comedy talking about music and how to dance to it. That was all it was.
I thought I was being really, really unique and clever by being like, "Oh my God, hey man." And it was like, Leave me alone.
I never said it like that.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, he's very kind about it.
We're going to come back and talk more about this gig happening on Saturday on Theatre by QE2. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
This is The Night Shift with Mark Lloyd.
On Dubai Eye 103.8, the UAE's number one talk radio station.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. We have Sonny, we have Noha, and we have Ori Styler, who's come all the way from the UK as part of his tour, and he's going to be performing on Theatre by QE2 Saturday, the 11th of May. Now, a little bird to my right has just told me that you do voiceovers.
I do, yes.
And she told me to ask you to do an Optimus Prime.
It's my favorite.
Okay. Before time began, there was the cube. And at the end of this day, one shall stand, one shall fall.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. I'm sure that is one of many voices. Optimus, for you were spot on there, Noah, weren't you? Perfect, perfect. Tell me about your musicals side, because your roots are from Jamaica, and of course, Jamaicans are famous for the music.
My dad's a DJ as well.
Is
he? Yeah. So he's been DJing since he was a teenager. So in his den, in his house, there's like records everywhere. There's about maybe 40 or 50,000 records.
Vinyls.
Not organized. Yeah, vinyls. Oh, just all nice. There. Not organized. There's probably some really, really like pricey, expensive ones that are
rare stuff.
Yeah, that's collected like certain exclusivity because maybe they're hard to find and so on. So, I think before I did comedy, when I was younger, I was trying to figure out what was my entertainment thing, and I did music. So I used to rap or MC back in the day, and that was kind of an inroad for me to understand music and to understand who I was. And I always wanted to write stuff which was funny. So I kind of drifted away from that when I started to realize I could do other things like presenting and then fell into comedy, and then the rest is history.
Yeah.
But my assessment of music and my enjoyment of music is obviously still there, which is why you can mix it into comedy as well.
You did great in the Transformers.
Didn't he?
Yeah, so that's an interesting road into comedy. You know, it's a bit different. Usually, you know, it'll be, oh, I was funny at school, and you know, they pushed me on stage. It wasn't... Okay, tell me about your first gig.
First gig was... In on the Green, the 25th or 22nd of March, 2010. 22nd of March, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was an open mic night, but not just for comedy. It was for like all sorts of entertainment, poetry, yeah, music, etc. And they knew that I kind of wanted to do comedy. I would go down there to watch the show. I was making these like T-shirts, trying to just sell them as a little hustle while I was at university. They said, why don't you come on and try 5-10 minutes of comedy? I said, right, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Tried it, was, as you'd expect, it was okay, but it was still somebody's first gig. But after that, I was like, no, this made sense. I want to keep going and keep practicing.
It's funny, every comedian that I speak to, even if they're having a terrible night, they've had awful nights, still want to go back at it. They want to get back on stage. What do you think that is, Sonny?
Narcissism. The fact that I love myself and the kick I get from getting a laugh. Now, it's so addictive being on stage, and it's so addictive. It's a challenge as well, right? Yeah, so you look at the audience and you got to challenge yourself to be like, I'm going to make these people laugh.
Yeah.
And you can't fail in that challenge, right? I don't know what anyone else thinks, but for me, there is such a rush from getting a big, you know, pop of laughter.
Yeah,
So for me,
what about know-how? What about you? You know, maybe you've had a, perhaps not the best night. Do you still want to return and do it all again?
It's the love of my life.
Yeah.
Is it?
Always.
And how did you get into it?
I accidentally took a class.
Oh, yeah, a comedy class.
Look, a comedy class, and I was meant to start acting.
Yeah.
And I was meant to start acting, and I was interviewing for new jobs. And then once I started, I did my first show, I realized I never want to have a job again. I just want to do this. You have to be absolutely mental to love this, because it's literally you on stage alone.
Yeah.
You don't have a director, a scriptwriter. It's you, your thoughts, your vulnerability, and all these people.
Mm. You against the world, isn't
it? Yes, but then if you leave it with the world, you feel like everyone feels like you're their best friend.
Mm.
And that's what I really loved about Ori, because I watched him and after he got off stage, I felt like, you know what? We're buddies, right? Like, I feel like we're buddies. And he's got this thing with crowd work, which I started doing and absolutely love, is when you have these observations and you speak to the people in the audience and makes it relatable anywhere you go in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just, I'm madly in love.
I'll tell you what, you wouldn't want to go and tell Ori that he's not funny, would you? You know, I mean, could have been a heavyweight boxer, never mind. You know?
I'm a big lad. I am a big lad. But maybe this came from not wanting what happened to, I don't know, Chris Rock to happen to me if I push too far. So who knows? Is it whatever was the cause or effect of that?
Tell me about television that you've been in, because I've been away so long that I've obviously missed it all. Okay. So what TV shows?
So I've done a lot of the kind of comedy stuff that you see, for example, stand-up sketch show. I've done a few seasons of few panel shows like Don't Hate the Players. There's been documentaries around comedy, or just like there was Black British and Funny, which was about the black comedy scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was...
Is there a big scene?
There was one. There still is one. But I think a lot of it, because there's been... how can I put this? There's been like a nice opening for comedy from all different backgrounds, be it race, be it gender, be it just all different backgrounds, are now kind of accepted as part of comedy, as opposed to all being contemporary. I think a lot of the people that have seen comedy just from a typical 80s and 90s standpoint go, so where have these people come from? What has it been like? And that's where that scene has kind of had a shine now. But there was very much an independent scene of young black comedians like your Curtis Walkers, Eddie Nestor, Robbie G's, all from the Real McCoy era, the Richard Blackwoods, like the Mr. C's, the Rudy Liquids, that had a kind of a one avenue to go, and that was performing at your Hackney Empires and your Catford Broadway theatres, when they had these big shows where the community would come to and watch. Now they're very much integrated into many other shows because comedy's more open now. They're bored of just the typical standard one guy in front of a microphone holding. They want to see charisma. They want to see a bit more dynamic performance and so on. So that's kind of where that's been. And I guess with TV and so on, there's been loads of opportunities to do like adverts and to appear in. I mean, I lead in a movie called On the Other Foot. I'm one of the main leads in a film called The Living Dead. There's loads of different things you can kind of see me in, I guess.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? How many different kind of, you know, different bows you've got to your talent.
I mean, bills to pay.
exactly. Great stuff. So the gig, tickets are available, I'm guessing,
tickets are still available, right?
Yes, they're still available. Yeah. You can get them from
Platinum List.
That's the one. Also, there's more information either on Platinum List, on Theatre by QT's website, livenation.me as well. You can find all information about the show. There's tickets. Tickets available. Great, so hopefully see you guys there.
Another couple of shows are just going to drop in, get a mention too.
Absolutely. We've look, comedy in Dubai, as we all know, is burgeoning. We've got a whole host of shows coming up in the next week, starting tomorrow night. So if you're stuck at an end tomorrow night, pop on down to Blah Blah, one of the most popular venues Dubai. Yeah. Our good buddy Yash, who's also opening for wonderful Ori. Yash is
queuing up to open for him, aren't they?
I don't know where my call was.
It'll be like midnight. When's he coming on? When's Ori coming on?
3 a.m. Yash is producing a night called Expats of Arabia.
Yeah.
And this lineup is brilliant. We've got Nitesh from India. We've got the other Noha, who is Egyptian and from New Zealand. We've got Ema, who's our good friend from the Philippines, Adi from India, and Valentina from Italy, who's been here before as well. So truly an expat special. Noha, do you want to talk about Safastak?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a new Arabic night. So Arabic comedy is really starting to boom now.
Okay.
And this is a new night. This is their fourth edition. It's going to be in Monkey Bar on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Mm. And it's got a lot of the Arabic comedians that are in the town, and also some comedians who usually do English who are trying Arabic for the first time.
Isn't it? That's
so that's brave. Very brave. Interesting.
Thoughts on Dubai? Do you enjoy coming to our city?
Yes. So I'll tell you real quick. I wanted to come over here in 2018. I did a show in 2017. I would come back 2018 a few times in the year just to see if I could come here and maybe work, maybe do comedy here. But that was kind of a very early stage in like the comedy scene in Dubai, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't enough for me to be able to work without having to also take on another job. And I'll be honest, I didn't want to. I'm doing well in comedy at home and so on.
Yeah.
But every time I come back, I see the scene grow. I see people like Sunny. I see Noha. We have these conversations about how you can see the audience are now becoming more accustomed to what comedy is, not just make me laugh, but what it can be as well as a scene, what it can be as a message as well. Seeing like we were talking about this earlier on, seeing more women in comedy as well, being able to be accepted as like comedians and not just be seen as, oh, you're a woman and let's see if you're funny with that kind of misogyny in there. And it's great to see the development of that. So I love coming back to Dubai just to see every time I come back here, just its development in entertainment, particularly in comedy. I love it.
Lovely stuff. Well, Ori Styler, I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic show on Theatre by QE2 Saturday. The Orator Tour.
Yeah.
That's how I pronounce it.
That's how I would say it, yeah.
Thank you so much, guys, for coming in.
Thank you for
really, really
us.
Fun.
Appreciate
and,
you.
And can't wait for the gig.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
The UAE's number one talk radio station. You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.